up, everybody, and welcome back to Laying the Points with Farley Betts. It is Friday, May 19th. Happy Friday, everybody. My name is Chris R. Farley, a.k.a. at Farley Betts on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok. Doing a lot more on TikTok, giving that a lot of free plays. I would take a look if I was you. At Farley Betts across all social media. This is a 2 times a week sports betting podcast every Wednesday and Friday. We have great guests in this show. We've been talking PGA Championship, college baseball betting, MLB, NBA, of course, NFL draft, NFL win totals, you name it, sports betting. We talk about it here on Laying the Points. And we're trying to help you understand this industry better, understand how to win short-term and long-term, even if you're recreational. There are tactics and strategies you can use to do it the right way, right? Get those early numbers, get CLV, learn how to follow and actually predict line movement. Huge. Probably the most important thing, right? How do you start to get a handle on where the numbers are going to go? Because then you know whether you have to wait or not. That's really hard in the NBA. Some people who do that really well in the NFL. Of course, it's the sharps that move the lines, right? But anywho, this is the kind of stuff that we cover on this show, strategies, philosophies, tactics, and we have great guests to talk about all these things. But today is going to be a show on the NBA playoffs because the Denver Nuggets just got done beating the Lakers again. They are great closers, aren't they? Great closers. We'll talk more about that in a second. Going to talk about the Celtics and Heat in Game 2 here Friday night, what I think about that game, give out some free plays and free picks. My thoughts in the series as a whole. And then we're going to wrap this puppy up. This was going to be an NFL show where we talk about win totals and schedule evaluation. I've punted that to next week. Ran out of time this week, so my apologies for that. But we will bring that either on Wednesday or Friday next week. NFL win totals. Let's see if I can get a guest to talk NFL with me. But I love just hearing myself talk NFL for 30 minutes because I got a lot to say, Lord knows. And sometimes, man, when you have a guest, I love having guests on my show. But when I do my 30 to 35 minute shows, man, that's a tight window, isn't it? I feel like I'm just getting started in these conversations with my podcast guests. And then I have to cut them off because I don't want to keep you guys forever. You guys and gals. When I say guys, I mean everyone. Shame on me. I don't want to keep you forever. You know, you got lives. You got things to do. And you got chores, you got families, you got to go to your jobs, you got to come home, you got to clean the house. I get it. I understand. I'm a family man. We have a almost 3-month-old now. Things are awfully busy here in the Farley household, at the Farley estate, as we like to call it. So, anywho, going to have some great shows again next week. Going to try to have Kate Constable back in the show to talk NBA playoffs as well. So we got a great slate of shows, always bringing new guests. And thank you so much, everybody, for tuning in. In case you don't know, I won 5th place in Circa 2 years ago, career 57% win percentage in the NBA, on the BetUS NBA and NFL shows, affiliated with a bunch of different shows and sports books. What's going on? Pro sports bettor Chris Farley, and let's get to it. Go to BetUS Sportsbook. Put in that promo code Farley125 and you will get a 125% deposit bonus. That means that not only do they double your money, 100%, right? But they give you even more than the money that you put in. Forget about it. That's a really good deal. It's free money. BetUS wants to give it to you. They're a really good sports book, actually. A lot of different options and plays. And I got to say, they were pretty advantageous during the NFL and NBA seasons for me. A lot of great underdog lines at BetUS. Check it out. Promo code Farley125. Help out this podcast. Help out this operation so we keep on running and keep on giving you guys free picks, free winners, and good sports betting content and information. All right, these NBA playoffs, man. Oh, boy, I'm hyped up because the Nuggets and Lakers, this is a damn good series. And let me just state this very clearly before we say anything else, because I don't know when you're listening to this. You're probably not listening to this like Friday morning at 4 a.m., which the podcast should be out by then. You're probably not listening to it then. You probably don't have Laying the Points as your first thing to do a Friday morning, right? So I don't know if these lines are going to be completely different when you get up in the morning. In fact, they could be way different because they're starting to move already. But I think it's my responsibility to tell you guys, and thank you to all your listeners of this show. This is a gift for me because I'm going to give my premium clients a four-unit play. Four-unit plays are fucking rare. A four-unit play, game three, Lakers, -4. And at one book, I think it was one of the Vegas books, so not everybody can get this, I saw a -3.5. Are you kidding me? On the Lakers. As good as Denver has been playing, and holy shit, do they know how to close. Again, I'll get to that in a second. Closers, as good as they've played, the Lakers, just doesn't it feel like they're ready to explode? Right? It's like Rui Hachimura is like budding into this like semi-star. I mean, the kid has, and he couldn't miss. He takes it to the rim. Great passer. A lot of energy on the floor. Can play defense. Can play some defense. Players like that, right? Austin Reeves can take over. He made some key threes, some key shots in the beginning of that game. We saw D'Angelo Russell attack the rim a little bit more, show some aggression at the beginning of that game. Anthony Davis, not quite what he did in game one, but formidable, right? Had some really good defensive plays in that game as well. LeBron James missed two wide open layups and a dunk. If he makes those, Lakers win this game. But we all know that's not quite how it works. But the thing is, the Lakers are ready to explode. Okay, this is still a really good team. They are the better defense. And the Denver Nuggets on the road are not the same team. They are not the same team. We've seen that all year, right? All these stats offensively that you see from Denver, right? Top 5 three-point shooting percentage, top 5 two-point shooting percentage, top 5 points in the paint. This is a very gifted offensive team. Top 5 in assist ratio, passing, ball movement. This is a very fluid offense. But most of those marks are first and second place consistently high rating marks at home. When they're on the road, it ain't quite the same. Okay? It's still good. It ain't the same. And their defense almost goes away on the road. I mean, the Denver Nuggets had one good month, January, where they played consistently good defense. This is not a naturally good defensive team. We see it in the playoffs all the time, right? These teams, they step up. They play harder. They play better. All of a sudden, it's like, well, that guy can play defense? Yeah, he can play defense. But because, you know, of course there's skill involved in defense, but a lot of defense is effort. It really is. I played a lot of basketball. You know, you get in your two-point stance. You get low. You follow the ball. You know, you're smart with your distance. You don't over-anticipate. It's basics, right? It's effort. But the Nuggets just aren't as willing to always go there. And they certainly don't execute from that perspective. They're offense first, right? The Lakers are big. They want to be physical. They want to take it at you. They want to get fouled. They want to be in the paint. And I think we're going to see a lot of that in game three. Lakers -4 is a four-unit play for my premium customers. You should bet on it too. I would take it up to -5. I would even like it at -5.5. But every half point, I will go down one unit. You know, if you can only get a 4.5 at this point, take it for 3 units. If you can only get it at 5, take it for 2 units. I still like it for 2 units at 5. But beyond 5, I start to not like it as much. And here's a big reason why. Like, I think the Lakers are going to win and cover that game, period. I think the Lakers probably win by 8. But look at these Denver Nuggets. And by the way, when I say I think the Lakers probably win by 8, that's not me pulling that out of my ass, okay? I have power ratings. I have ways that I weigh and measure these things. Game 3, response game, revenge game. Got to add some intangibles in there. Got to add some psychological elements to you know, upgrade the differential in power ratings for this game because it's a special spot at home, game 3. No game is more desperate. Lakers -4 at home is a max play kind of thing. It just is. you know? And when I say max play, don't fucking be one of these people on Twitter who's like, 20% of my bankroll is going on this play. 18 units, 36 units, 50 units. Shut the fuck. That doesn't mean anything. It doesn't mean it doesn't. When anyone says that on Twitter, it doesn't mean a damn. They don't know what they're doing, right? Their units, the unit count is all over the place. When I say max play, I mean the most that I would bet on an individual bet. It comes close to that for me. A 5-unit bet is the most I bet, and I'm not going to tell you what my unit size is, but I'm bumch, right? But 4-unit bet is a pretty big bet for me. That's how much I like it. I will be shocked if the Lakers didn't respond and win and cover a -4 at home. All that to say, we have to take notice here. This is why the Nuggets are favored in this series and why it's starting to look like, I mean, I like the Lakers in this series, but I'm starting to doubt that a little bit more now. Because the Nuggets are just so good at home, period. And they know how to close, don't they? Did you notice every one of those quarters? First quarter, Lakers surge ahead right at the start of that game. Denver kind of eats away at the deficit, eats away. They surge at the end. Probably should have been winning by 2 to 3 points at the end of that quarter. Ended up in a tie. Second quarter, same thing. Now, they went down a little bit, okay? But they hung in there, right? They just hang in there. Like you're not going to put the Denver Nuggets away at home. You know, you're not going to beat the Nuggets by like 15, 20 points at home. That's not something that happens. So they hang around. Third quarter, the same thing happened. Lakers come out, they score 10 points in the first 3 minutes. You know, they're cruising, and then all of a sudden, things slow down a little bit. Again, at the end of the second quarter and the third quarter, we saw Lakers like 9 missed shots in a row. Denver Nuggets going like a 10-0 run. The Nuggets just know how to increase the energy and assert, you know, impose their will on their opponent at home. I think that same energy and momentum that they use at home, they find it harder to replicate that on the road for whatever reason, you know, whether they just lose a little chemistry, whether they're just more comfortable with their own rims and their own lights and the, like, I don't know. But it doesn't look the same on the road when they're in precarious situations. They could get blown out, right? We saw that against the Suns. It can happen. And I think the Lakers could blow out the Nuggets in game 3. And it doesn't mean anything about the Nuggets, right? Like, we know who this team is. This is the number one offense in the NBA, period. The most consistent, the most effective consistently, but especially at home. And they're not a great defense, but it doesn't matter because they're just going to roll you at home. Lakers are going to have to win one in Denver, man. Oh, good luck. All right, I'm going to quickly talk about the Boston Celtics and Miami Heat series now. The Boston Celtics responded twice against Philly after a loss. And they only allowed Philly to score 87 and 86 points in 2 response games in the last series. Now, in several other games where they had to respond after a loss, twice against the Hawks and once against Philly, they allowed a ton of points. So I'm not saying that this is a de facto obvious bet. But I do think that the Boston Celtics defense will improve. And we certainly can't say, listen, at this point, nobody should be saying the Heat aren't that talented. They're not that talented. Obviously, they're pretty talented. They're more talented than we all think. Bam Adebayo didn't think twice. He didn't hesitate for a second in game 1. He was as confident as I've ever seen him. Scoring defensively, dribbling the ball all the way up, you know, the court, distributing the ball. I mean, Bam was a huge reason why they were in that game in the first half. But, you know, Jimmy Butler does his thing. They got these shooters like Max Strus. Duncan Robinson is starting to come on again. And these guys will kill you. I mean, Caleb Martin can nail shots. Highsmith can. They just got these, like, random guys that can just kill you. They can kill you if they're wide open. And they play smart. Like, right? Like, they just – everything about the Heat is effort. Effort, effort, effort. So I'm not saying that they're under-talented offensively, but I certainly don't think we could say that the Heat's offense is like organically, collectively better than the 76ers. And I think it might even be a struggle to say that it's collectively better than the Hawks. I mean, at the end of the day, you know, you still got DeJounte Murray. You still got Trae Young, who I know he's annoying, but he's a bucket. I mean, the kid's a bucket. He's always been a bucket. You know, you got two bigs and Capella and Okongwu can come in and dominate down low. So anyway, this isn't a Hawks podcast, but the Heat, you know, collectively, it's not like they're a premier offense. So the Celtics shouldn't have much issue with their length, with the way they can really corrupt the paint, with the way that they can extend to the outside. I mean, the Heat shot, what, over 55% from three-point land in game one? I mean, they're not going to do that again, folks. Okay, 51.6%, but at one point during that game, it was 55. Okay, 54% from the floor. I mean, you know, the Celtics shot 52% from the floor, and that's kind of a norm for them, right? Celtics also didn't take many three-pointers in that one. 29, you know, they could take over, you know, upwards of 40, 45 in a game. The Celtics are going to find more rhythm. You know, they're still at home. But I think their defense is going to really come to play because at the end of the day, it's still a mismatch. Like almost every one of their guys against a Miami Heat player defensively is in a pretty good spot. Now, Jimmy Butler, I don't know if anyone can guard him right now. And he's going to make the right decision with the ball almost every time. And his effort plays are phenomenal. And let me tell you something. As somebody who's already been 33 years old and passed by it, yeah, that's right. I'm older than fucking 33. All right, fuck you. But anyway, as somebody who's seen 33 years old, you are in your prime when you're 33. Like, I know that can sound old as an athlete. It's not. You're at the prime of your wisdom. You have a ton of experience. You've seen it all. You're gritty. You know you got that fucking big, like, dad strength, you know, like older dude strength. You know, you could take a punch. And you certainly have a higher whatever industry or sport you're in IQ than other players. And that's what Jimmy Butler's doing right now. You know, he's not intimidated by anybody in the Boston Celtics. And he's just outthinking and outplaying everybody. But, you know, I think Bam Adebayo had a tremendous game one. I don't think he's always going to play that tremendously. I think he might have to if the Heat want to win. But I don't, you know, but that's why the Heat are going to drop a few games because he'll be a little more inefficient, right? His offense isn't typically as consistently efficient as it was in game one, especially in the first half of that game. So, you know, we have to expect regression in some ways. Both teams shot really well. I would just, all this to say, guys, I'm looking at unders in this game. You know, maybe under in the first half, 110.5. You know, that's a pretty good look. I think this game starts a lot slower. When you get two teams who shot over 50% in that last game, and when you have one team who shot almost 52% in the Miami Heat from beyond the arc, and you're a Celtics team who prides yourself on defending the three really well, like they're a top three defensive team against three-point shooting percentage for their opponent. Come on. I made that a little longer than I had to, I think. Top three defending the three is my point. A lot of threes in there. So they still have pride. Listen, Mazzulla is just not a defense-first guy, right? He's just more about their offense. That's why he put in Peyton Pritchard in that last game. Do not think that was a good idea. Like, put Grant Williams in. You know, he's a better defender. He's a better two-way guy, really. You know, he's, like, trying to go small, trying to be cute. Like, stop with the cute stuff, Joe Mazzulla, and just recognize that this team needs to, you know, they need to bump the other team first. They need to get a little physical first to find their heads in the game. They can't just shoot outside shots all game and spread the floor like you're the fucking Warriors. Like, you're not, you know. But after Mazzulla predictably trips over himself, either he gets out of the way and the Celtics just do what they want, because they've been here before, they've been in the playoffs, they know how to play the right defense. So either he yields to them a little bit more in their experience, or he adequately adjusts, he knows how, because we've seen that from the Celtics before. Like, right, like we've seen the story before. All of a sudden, it looks like they have an all-world defense again. And we saw it in spurts in game one as well. You just didn't see it consistently. And certainly not in those stretches in the third and fourth quarter. I mean, the Miami Heat were the schoolyard bully, and the Celtics just, like, didn't want to stand in the way. It was pretty pathetic, actually, which is why I like the Celtics to respond. I'm not going to bet on the Celtics at -9. That's a ridiculous line. I would lean Heat in that sense, but I'm just not going to bet it. ATS. I would just look at unders in this game, and that's all I got to say about that. I knew this was going to be a short podcast today, guys, recording this late at night, exhausted, got to get some sleep, picking up my 17-year-old son tomorrow. We got the three-month-old here every single day. Life is busy. Love y'all. Thank you so much for listening. Check out that promo code Farley125 at BetUS. Check out Laying the Points twice a week, every Wednesday and Friday. See you next week. Let's win some damn money.